And a very, very, very good evening to everyone. Let me, I'm gonna put us on Q&A mode so that we can drown out any potential distractions. I'm gonna make a few announcements, lay down some happy house rules, and then get the party started here. And then I'll show you what needs to be done. If you have any questions and want to chime in, so let me hit this magic button here. Hold on. And I'm gonna take a sip of water to prepare the magic pipes. Hold on. All right, there we go. Much better, much better. By the time is over, we're done tonight. It's going to be officially Miller time or wine time. I don't know. I'll see how that goes. But in any case, so here we get started. Welcome, 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 everybody. I am so happy and so honored that you all could join us for this evening. You know me, Tony P. That's right, Tony Pearl in the house. And I want to thank each and every one of you guys for showing up as we continue to have more people showing up being there. And I want to wish everyone a happy new year. Happy, happy new year. And, of course, merry belated Christmas, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, whatever you're gonna, whatever you've been celebrating, whatever you enjoy. I hope that it was awesome. My time, for those of you who know, I had the pleasure of talking with today my current students. You know, it's been crazy around the Pearl household. My mom, my 91-year-old mother, came up. From 3 hours away, she drove. Yes, she still drives at 91. She drove up here and spent a few days together. We went out to a couple meals, including meeting up with some wonderful, wonderful people and good students and good friends of mine now. Mr. Matthew, that's right, and his lovely family, Matthew Pierce, was in the area. So we had a nice, lovely dinner with him and his family, two beautiful children. I know you're on the call, Matt. And let's see. I've been dog sitting for almost 2 weeks. The dog finally left today. It's an 80-pound bulldog, and she was wonderful. But my God, if anyone has a dog, that is a lot of work. Holy cannoli. But it was a labor of love. Got me out and walking around every day in 20-degree weather picking up poop. Where's the fun in that? I'm telling you, it's a joyful thing. let's see what else. Christmas was great. A lot of people over here. We're going to have a lot more people on New Year's Eve. Partying and dancing the night away, it's going to be crazy. So I hope that you all have good plans for yourselves. I really do. Now, let's see. So listen, the purpose of tonight's call is it's very simple. I just really wanted to have a way that I could give back a little something to everybody, to all you great students of mine, present and past students of mine. I just want to say thank you so much for making my life so incredible that you allow me the opportunity to add value to your lives. We have fun together. We laugh together. We cry together. You share your frustrations, your anxieties, and we work through them together. We talk about deals, marketing, all the good stuff, some of the bad. And this year has been absolutely crazy. I know a lot of people have been having some challenges in the family, health challenges, financial challenges. And I just want to let you know that I pray for each and every one of you guys. I really mean that. You all mean the world to me, and I truly mean that. And your success, whenever you do deals and get deals closed, it makes me so happy. And honestly, I get more pleasure out of helping you do your deals than doing my own, because there's just something magic about that. And any chance I get to make that happen for you, it's my pleasure. I know a lot of several people on this call have been having some frustrations financially, doing deals, getting marketing, talking to people, getting through the thick wall with some of these knucklehead a-hole sellers and some very fickle and feeble buyers out there. But I'm here to tell you that tough times don't last. Tough people do. These challenges that you're experiencing in this business and in life are really only temporary. They are really actually tests and opportunities in disguise. It's an opportunity for you to learn, to grow, to get better, to improve yourself. And really, it's nothing more than feedback from life, from people saying, hey, you're still not good enough. You better get it together. Keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. Improve yourself. Improve your skills. Get better. Challenge yourself. Grow. Every single day, you should be doing something for yourself to make yourself better, something for your business to make your business grow. Whatever you can do, challenge yourself. Come up with fun, creative ways if you can. Okay, so another thing I'd like to do is hopefully we can get a couple people who are currently doing deals and on the phone here in a moment, and sharing what's working for you and what you have going on. Maybe you'd like to brag a little bit. Nothing wrong with that every now and then. I'd love to get somebody to brag about what they have going on. I know we have – I got a lot of students doing deals, and I think that would be a great chance for you to share some inspiration and maybe, you know, share a little bit about what you got going on. Damien, I think that you would be a good guy to talk about. Let me see, man. I think that you'd be awesome. Let people know what you have going on. You got a Damien has a couple of houses for sale at this point. Yes, indeed. And if I had Randy Jenkins, if he's on here too, if I have Michael Neal on here, I got a few people. So, anyways, let's see what else. And basically, what I really wanted to do for you guys is just find what I could do to provide a little bit of extra solid real-world value to all of you who are bold enough and kind enough to show up for the call this evening, okay? So I just, again, want to thank each and every one of you for showing up and for being my students and for making this crazy real estate business fun and exciting for all of us, okay? So with that in mind, I would like to say that if you have a – let's start with this. If you have any deals in the pipeline, if you're currently doing deals, if you've done any deals recently, if you have something positive to share, I'd like you to please now punch *6 on your phone, and I'd like to talk to you. Just if you have something to share, let's see what we got going on. I promise to be gentle. I won't embarrass you. I'll do my best. And you don't have to talk about anything that you don't want to talk about. Okay? And we have our first volunteer. Oh, my God, is this who I think it is? Ed, is that you, man? Hold on a second here. I think that's you. Ed, are you there? Is that you, Ed Middlebrooks?
Hello?
Is that you? Quit playing around,
this
man.
This is Punjabi.
That is not funny. Stop making jokes on my phone. That is not funny.
Sorry. Yes, of course it's Ed Middlebrooks. I wouldn't miss this meeting for the world, Tony. You are the man, and my mentor, and absolutely love it. Yes.
I'm honored and happy and so happy that you could make it on the phone. And this is Ed Middlebrooks, the Ed Middlebrooks. In case you haven't met him, you're missing out. And when you do meet him, you'll remember him. He's my bald brother from another mother. That's right. Formerly of New Hampshire and presently of Tampa, Florida, if I'm not mistaken. That's correct?
That's right. We come down here to do deals year-round. So you got to go where the sun is shining and the area is warm and there are deals everywhere. Our new VA, who we hired 2 weeks ago, is fresh, and she is calling people and running the simple script that we get. And I've given her some of Tony's tactics here, and she is generating a yes lead almost every single day.
Wow. I'm going to have to come down there and give you a run for the money, man. And Tampa's good for the solar panel, the bald solar panel, right?
Stephanie wants me to mention that she's only calling 2 hours a day.
Okay. Only 2 hours a day.
Uh-huh. I'm getting a yes lead pretty much every day.
That's fantastic. Well, Stephanie is Ed's frustrated but wonderful, wonderful wife. You're a lucky man. And they have four gorgeous children together. And I don't know if you have plans for more. Hey, we can discuss that later. It's all good. So she's calling 2 hours a day and following up and doing these closing calls, I imagine, right?
No, I'm following up and doing the closing call. She's just doing the opening call, and she's getting yes a day. So now we are looking for we are interviewing three acquisitions right now.
Awesome.
And the way we have learned to hire acquisitionists is to make it all commission-based. You know, people in sales, we call it a sales position, and people in sales are used to having jobs that are all commission-based. What they need is they need the scripts, they need the education, and they need the resources in order to do their job well. And part of that resource is giving the viable leads. Now, what they don't want to do in sales, of course, is make cold calls. So in order to find these acquisitionists, we use a tried and true method, and that is when you go around, you flap your lips. I know this guy who says that a lot of money is made by people just flapping their lips. And one of the places that we find these acquisitionists is actually if we go into a restaurant or we're doing service with anybody and somebody gives us really good service and they're personable, you find that quality in certain people. They have a good attitude. They know how to hold a conversation. They carry themselves well. And we ask them simple questions. You know, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. What are your plans? Are you in school? And finally, we get to the point of, are you interested in maybe trying to do a little something on the side and earn some cash? And they're very happy to just make some closing calls, just calling the yes leads and then going back to the no leads and sifting through all that to get us the deals. And they're happy to go out and do the appointments and meet people and get contracts, and we will get to that point when they're ready. But for now, it's really an acquisitionist phone call job, and they get just a percentage of the down payment only. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. It's a little way that we're doing it. You asked me to press star 6 because I had good news, and obviously that's good news, but that wasn't the good news I pressed the button for. We're actually about to open up a second Airbnb, one down here in Tampa, Florida, and we're in negotiations for even a third Airbnb and possibly a fourth in St. Petersburg in the Gulf of Mexico. It's amazing.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at you, man. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Damn. All right, I got to ring the bell. Yeah, that's the deal bell right there. Check you out. That's the good news bell. Fantastic. But pause that for 1 second. Let's rewind just a moment if we could. So you're saying that you have been able to successfully find acquisitionists by just being out and about and flapping your lips and talking to people with good attitude, and you're just trying to see if they have good communication skills. You're just trying to see if they have a nice attitude and are possibly open-minded to other opportunities that you might be able to help them out with. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and I make it a point not to promise them anything.
Uh-huh. Very cool. Very cool. So you mean you don't have to go out there and look on Indeed.com and pay $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 out of your pocket to someone that you're going to hire off the street and train them and all that stuff and
nope.
Wonder where you're going to be able to – how you can afford an acquisitionist? You don't have to do that.
Nope. I'll tell you what, just having a conversation with somebody that you meet who looks like they're well put together. When I say looks, obviously, you know, I don't mean like, you know, they're wearing nice clothes. I just mean that they, you know, like when we went out to breakfast the other morning, and our server was super nice, had a good personality. Now, you know, as a server, she's not making a ton of money, yet here she is waiting tables on a Saturday morning, and she's, you know, it's Christmas time, and she's got a smile on her face, a pep in her step. She's doing her job well, and she's enjoying herself. And you have a conversation with somebody, you will know the good from the bad as soon as you start talking to them. If they're blowing you off and they don't want to talk to you, you know it. But when they're still business focused, we're not talking about the person with the gift of gab who stands at your table, just talk, and they're ignoring their job. We're looking for the person who knows how to hold a conversation and knows how to get in and out of the conversation and get back to work.
Mm-hmm. Someone with a good attitude, good communication skills, that knows how to hustle and get stuff done.
That's right.
And then you simply ask a couple of questions to see if they might be open to doing something, and you take it from there.
That's right.
Love it. Love it. Awesome, man. Good stuff. Good stuff. And thank you for sharing that. So tell us real quick, if you could, about your Airbnbs. Of course, if those of you who don't know it, there's a lot of ways to make money in real estate. Okay, this is for everyone's benefit here. And with several people I know that I've already discussed the possibility of doing Airbnb, because not everybody wants to sell their place. Not everyone wants to sell their place with terms. There's a lot of landlords out there who just want to rent it out. Or maybe they're interested in doing a lease purchase or selling with owner financing. There's all kinds of different things that we can do. But you can go in there, and let's say you find a landlord, and they want a high monthly rent payment. There's really not much room in there. Well, what if you could? If there's a way that you could give them that monthly rent, or you could double or triple your cash flow on a property by simply changing the intent and the use of it, and simply putting it out there, rent it out for say $1,000 or $2,000 a month, and then put it out there to rent it out instead of by the month to a regular tenant. You rent it out on a nightly basis, short-term rentals using Airbnb. VRBO, which stands for Vacation Rental by Owner. There are other such short-term rental websites that you can use and combine, and there's ways that you can automate this business so that you're not the one who's going in there cleaning toilets every time you get a turnover of a tenant and getting someone in there. So I'm sure you guys heard of the B&B Formula by Brian Page. It's a wonderful product. There's also a lot of information on YouTube that you can actually find to get more information about this. So with that in mind, that is something that Ed has decided to pursue. I can't remember if we had a conversation about that, but I'll say that we did. And anyways, you were there at the summit, and I'm sure you met Brian Page too and probably got his product. I don't know. But you were able to utilize that information and make it into a successful operation for yourself. So what can you care to share about your Airbnb short-term rental business with us, Ed?
Sure. So we have our first Airbnb in Lincoln, New Hampshire. This is a house we bought on owner financing. I closed on this property, ended up giving the owner $10,000 down. Now, that might seem like a lot, and some people might have sticker shock, but it wasn't any of my own money. And the way that we negotiated that was I used a tiny little bit of the equity from another house that I got on owner financing as well. I found myself a private lender, and I gave him a first position on the mortgage, and we were able to take out $60,000 from that property. It's currently worth $200,000, so he's less than 50% loan to value. Very happy. We fed a little bit of money to the business so we'd have some closing cost money, and in this case, we had $10,000 that we could put down on the property. So that was the sticking point for this particular seller. He originally wanted 50. We talked him down to 10. We said, "You got a deal," and we went ahead and we set up an Airbnb. We did that because I pay him $1,300 a month, and on top of that, I've got taxes and utilities and stuff to pay for. And we ended up going and spending a little bit of the money on refurbishing the place to some degree.
Yes.
We put in new floors, painted. We had to put in furniture. Brian Page is really fantastic. I think he's the one who first got me started with the idea of doing Airbnb as part of our business model. But I got to tell you, we're having a $4,000 month in a ski town in the month of December. We're
wow.
already booked through January and February and portions of March. June and July or / July, August are our most busy months, and we have $5,000 months there. So
what is the what is your out goal?
Yeah.
What is your out goal for that property, if real quick? Pardon me for interrupting.
$1,300 a
rent?
Month plus utilities. We're almost at $2,000 a month all in with the utilities and everything. But keep in mind,
okay.
we're up where we have tanks of oil and all that type of stuff. So it changes from the winter months to the summer months.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got some expensive utilities because it's cold as crap up there. So your outgo is about $2,000 and your income was $4,000 in some months and $5,000 in others. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. We have not had a month where we haven't at very least broke even, but I would say that we haven't even had a break even month. Every single month has been a profitable month.
Awesome. Awesome. So everyone yeah. listening, can you see the opportunity here? I mean, I don't know if this is a rare thing, but from what I'm hearing and what I'm understanding, as long as you know what the hell you're doing, you can make some great money. And some. It's all about passive cash flow in this business. Replace your job income with your business income. Automate that as much as possible, and life becomes wonderful because now you can live life on your own terms. So for those of you who are out there ready to do your first deal, your next deal, whatever, yeah, doing it the old-fashioned way, what we call the old-fashioned way for investors is putting it out there and occupying it with a lease option tenant buyer, right? They're going to put some money down, hopefully a good chunk of money down, and then we get it to make like 100, 200, 300, 400, 500 bucks if we're lucky every month. And that's fine if that is your option and your goal. But maybe consider a case-by-case basis where you just don't do that with every single property automatically because that's the way that we were taught to do. Maybe if you use a little bit of creative thinking and looking at other possibilities and put yourself in a position to win in a different way, you can create some phenomenal cash flow for yourself, just like my man Ed has done for him and his family. Four kids. That's a lot of mouths to feed you have there, and I'm really proud of
yeah.
you that you're doing well with this. Do you have anything
yeah,
else that you wanted to share real quick
yeah.
or a quick
so,
question?
So that's my old Airbnb. My next one, we just heard yesterday, in fact, that we went to a landlord, and we said, look, we'd like to lease your property, but would you allow me to sublease it? Oh, absolutely not. No way in the world would I let you do that. And
right.
I said, well, we'd like to do something on Airbnb. She goes, oh, no. I don't want people coming and going. I said, well, listen, you know, here's how we would do it. We're a business. This is our model. And when I approached her, instead of being an individual tenant, I said, I'm a business, and I own multiple properties, and this is our model, and I'm going to tell you why you want to do this. I didn't get defensive or anything. I just politely explained. I kind of asked her, why would you want to rent to a tenant who's going to beat up your house when me as a company, we're going to take care of it? So she says, well, okay, why don't you come on out and we can talk a little bit. But I can tell you right now, I'm not too keen on it. But like anybody else who I let come and see it, you can come and see it too. When I get there, I showed her my one Airbnb in Lincoln. I showed her my 50 reservations that I had and my 4.9 star reviews. Mm. And immediately she let down all of her guards. I also
mm-hmm.
made it a point that as I walked in, I picked out every little thing as I'm talking to my wife and I'm looking at the grass and I'm saying, we would have to seed here. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to fix this stuff. And I start putting all the different things that we're going to fix as if I were an owner coming in and saying, we're going to have to fix this. We're going to have to fix that. And when the landlord saw me doing that and I was saying, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to fix that. guess what? We got the property. So
she's
following up with me today and saying, hey, when do you want to come and sign this lease? We're going to do this for a whole year, and we'll see how it goes on the first year. And I said, you know, it's going to work out great, and you're going to get back a property that's in even better condition than when I took it from you. And I guarantee it. Because when I go in there and I do the Airbnb stuff, I've explained to her, I've got to have it looking ready. It's got to be hotel room ready. And I said, think about this for a second. Are your tenants going to have it professionally cleaned every week? Are they going to have a professional maintenance company come out and take care of everything? Are they going to fix these problems? Are they going to treat it like they own it, or are they going to treat it like it's yours? And that's really got me thinking. That's the key. Why would it?
That is the key.
Somebody renting a house?
I mean, so when you break it down to them, like, it's going to be professionally clean and maintained. You're not going to have to worry about a thing. You're going to get paid on time. You take away all the problems and objections that a typical landlord would have, which is my property going to be taken care of? Am I going to get paid on time? You take those away and beat them over the head with how awesome what we have in mind in store for them is going to be, and then you knock them over the head with more professionalism and a track record that you've already obviously provided. It basically becomes a no-brainer. When can we do this? So you have the chance to provide that by showing the success that you had with one property and parlay that into this next one, and I'm sure that's what you're going to continue to do as you multiply it down the road. So if someone's just getting started, they may not have the success, but if you still come across with the fact that it's not about me, it's about you, what I can do for you, here's what we're planning on doing, here's what we're going to make happen, this is a professional business, it will just go to make sense. So thank you for sharing that, Ed, and congratulations on your success, brother. That is phenomenal.
Thank you.
That is phenomenal. No, nobody deserves it more than you, just like everybody on this call. No one deserves the success more than y'all. So did you have a question, or did you just want to brag here? It's totally fine.
You told me I hit star six if I wanted to brag, and I said, all right, I'll brag with my man Tony, because I'll tell you honestly, I never even considered calling the for rents, but there is such a great opportunity when you call the for rents, because you will call landlords who don't want to be landlords anymore, and they don't have any other option. They don't know that you exist, and those are great, not just Airbnb opportunities. Those are great for lease options. When I call it for rent and say, look, I'm interested in leasing.
Yep.
Would you give me an option to buy it?
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
Tell me more about that. Yeah, absolutely.
So where did you get that idea to call? Where did you get that idea to call?
This bum in Virginia told me about it. His name's Tony Pearl.
What?
Fantastic.
What? Well, you're one of the rare ones, Ed. It's a pleasure, and it was an honor working with you. And I know that you're doing great things out there. And you want to give a plug? You want to give a plug? I know you are. I know you are. Did you want to talk about your Facebook group?
Oh, well, thank you very much. Yeah. So for those of you who are Ron LeGrand trained, this means that you are swearing off banks. You will not be getting a loan from a bank. You will be buying on owner financing or lease options. You're basically doing things Papa's way and with Tony's guidance. We have a group. It's just a networking group. Look, it's free. It's absolutely free. But it's for people who are highly motivated. If you are kicking tires and you are getting ready to get ready, if you are the baseball player who's got the bat sitting on the shoulder and you're not ready to swing, then this isn't the group for you. If you find that you are the person who's going to step up to the plate and you are swinging for the fences and you are highly motivated and you want to make this work, our group is called the REE Masterminds Group. We are a private group on Facebook. So to get there, you have to friend me first, and you'll look up, it's either Ed Middlebrooks or Eddie Middlebrooks. It's E-D-D-I-E. There's no Y in anybody I know is named Eddie, but whatever. Anyhow, a little pet peeve of mine. The group REE Masterminds is Real Estate Entrepreneur Masterminds. That's what REE stands for, Real Estate Entrepreneurs. And we are all uniquely trained by Ron LeGrand. This group came about because I'm a member of many different investor groups, and people out here are saying, hey, I've got 40 grand, I got 50 grand, how should I get started investing? And all the advice is go get a loan, go get a loan, go talk to a bank, get a loan.
Right.
Or where do I find hard money lenders? And nobody understands how do you find a private lender. And a lot of people confuse those terms. They don't understand truly the difference between a private lender and a hard money lender. So having said all that, that's what our group does. We are trained by Ron LeGrand. We look for private money lenders through negotiating with normal people who don't ask you for things like extra points and closing costs and origination fees and all these other things. Just people that you know, people at your church, people you network with. So that's what our group does.
Okay.
And we are all highly motivated and ambitious. So
how they get in, they got to friend you at Eddie Middle. Go on Facebook and look for the bald man, my other bald brother here, Eddie Middlebrooks. and friend him
Eddie
up,
Middlebrook,
and then,
yeah.
And then you'll go from there, and you'll be invited
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I'll invite you into the group.
You'll be a part of the fun. It's a private group,
that's
I'm
right.
sure, right?
Yeah. The private group.
And I'll,
it's a secret, actually.
I'll be eventually putting my own freaking Facebook group on there. I hate Facebook, but I love Facebook. But I'm going to be discussing Facebook a little bit more soon enough, and I'm probably going to be providing some good training on some things that are working well for me and others that I'll be
awesome.
Caring to share at some point soon. So thank you so much, Ed. Man, we're all giving you a big round of applause. Everyone put your hands together. You know we can't hear. Actually, you know what? I'm going to take everyone off of the Q&A, and everyone's going to shout and show you some love here. Everybody. Thanks, Eddie. You guys are a bunch of crazy animals. I love it. That's my kind of people there. Yeah. Ed, you hear that low, man? That was a beautiful thing. That was awesome. That was awesome. Okay. Let me see. I had someone else on here. Oh, you know what I think I did? I took the Q&A off when I did that. It took other people off as well. So do me a favor, Damien, hit that star 6 again, please, so I can queue you back up. And Chrissia, I think I saw you in there as well, and I'll get you on. Okay. Thank you very much. And let's see. Eddie, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it. And I'm going to Ed, say goodbye.
Thank you so much, everybody. I appreciate that round of applause, but I got to say real quick, shout out to my wife, Stephanie. I can't do this without her. She is my guiding light. She holds me accountable. She's absolutely fantastic. She's also on fire for this business. She is just raring to quit her job. She cannot wait. She loves this. We love you. We talk about Tony Pearl all the time. Just wanted to say thank you very much for everything and give a big shout out to my wife, who is instrumental in all this. So thank you.
She is awesome. You are a very fortunate man. Behind every successful man is a more frustrated, angry woman, right? Exhausted woman. I'm just kidding. But Stephanie is phenomenal, and I've had the pleasure of meeting her as well. So thank you for giving her that shout-out, and thank you as well. Okay, so we're going to keep it moving here, and next up is my man, Damien. I'm going to pick you on here, so you are online. Damien, speak up, sir. Mr. Damien Jensen out of Missouri. Hello.
Out of Kansas City. How's it going?
That's right. Home of that
right,
tangy
hey.
Barbecue and
hey,
the Chiefs.
If you're just in case you were wanting to join and friend Eddie's page, his most recent post had a guy on a motorcycle with a cat on his shoulder riding on a motorcycle. So make of that what you will. But I was trying to identify him. I'm looking for something that says real estate on here. I don't see a thing on the main page that says real estate. So,
You got to look for Eddie Middlebrooks first.
Yep. Ed,
so.
Ed Middlebrooks.
Ed Middlebrooks. Ed or Eddie.
Yep.
Yes.
On there's Ed. So. All right.
And by the way, I forgot to mention, Ed Middlebrooks is a hell of a talented musician, too. He plays guitar, and he's a great singer. He can hit some high notes that I could never hit. No, but he's a great singer. So if you see him at a karaoke sometime, he's awesome. Anyways, the floor is yours, Mr. Damien. What would you care to share this evening, sir? What you got going on?
Oh, well, let's see. For everyone that doesn't know me, which is probably most people, I joined Planet Ron here much earlier this year, though I've been familiar with a lot of Ron's stuff for quite a number of years and was kind of the hoo-ha kicking the tires. This year, really tried to ramp things up and wound up having to move in the middle of it, doing a rehab on the home I'm moving into, having to do extensive repairs on the home I moved out of. So a lot of my main time with Tony was spent around a lot of personal issues, but really, in the last few weeks, everything's come together for me. Got my attitude set straight. Finally stopped caring what anyone has to say to me on the phone. Yes, no, maybe so. And the difference has just been amazing. So right now I've got two houses out for sale. One happens to be my old house, but got a potential buyer on the line who said they're willing to put $20,000 down on it.
Cha-ching.
On only a $130,000 house. So
how about that?
I'll take that percentage on there. Got a
nice.
Setting up for a 1-hour open house for this weekend, getting a lot of activity and replies on that and, including realtors and stuff, reaching out to me going, hey, I have clients that are interested in this house. You know, will you sell it? Are you just looking for a lease option? Are you looking for lease purchases? So, you know, if you haven't had much happen, I'm just going to mention, you know, I'm just going to say if you take the action, you know, stuff is going to start coming to you. You know, this house, once I just really started taking action with things, This house I just bought, the one I'm doing an open house on, it came to me. I didn't have to go looking for it. Somebody came to me and says, hey, I would like to buy this house, but I'd have to buy it this way, and the owner wasn't really interested in this, but I thought of you, and I thought about the things that you do, working with lease options and owner financing and stuff like that. You think you could help her out? I'm like, well, yeah, I could go talk to her. And sure enough, it was easy as pie. It was truly easy. I mean, when you got a truly motivated seller, there is no reason to be intimidated at all. And you call them up, and you just walk through your script. It's like, okay, and I'm going to, I walked through the script, got the basic information I need to know, kind of tight margin on the side of the house, but still a reasonable deal. And I just left off with the question of, okay, well, I'm going to come over, take a look at your house. If I like what I see, are you ready to do the paperwork and sell me your house while I'm there?
Right.
And they say yes, you've got them as locked in as you're going to get, and you just walk them through. Okay, here's how this works. Here's what we have in here. Here's the terms we discussed, and here's how I filled it in. And some of it you fill in while you're there. Some you may want to do in advance. It's up to you. And just walk through and say, all right, and you sign here. Here's where this is. If there's anything that needs to be changed, I'm going to send this to my friend and business partner who's done hundreds of these, in this case, Tony. I'm going to send it to my business partner, Tony. And if there's anything that needs to be changed on there, I'm going to let you know what those are, and I'm going to send you a revised version of that contract that shows, and I will point out what those changes are. And if we need to re-sign anything later on or whatever, we can take care of that. In the meantime, I want to make sure that we're getting your needs handled, which is getting your house sold and getting you out from underneath this massive payment that you're dealing with now that you've lost your job. So it was finding the problem and solving the problem, and she couldn't be happier. So
awesome. Let me ask you a quick question.
Sure.
How was it to talk to a motivated seller after talking to so many people who just want to suck up your time and want full price all cash? How awesome was that difference?
Oh,
like night and day.
It made me wonder why I was having so much difficulty before. I'm like, really? That it's that easy? Seriously? I'm like, okay, now I see what, when you're talking to a truly motivated seller, now I see why Ron says he gives everyone grief on the stage. Well, how many hours are you spending in your business every week? How many hours are you spending working on your business? Well, if your systems are in place and you're actually following your checklist and things like that, you really shouldn't need more than a few hours a week to pull in some deals. Right now, I've been putting my whole focus on selling these. And as soon as the first one sold, I'm going for my next one and next one and next one. And I have zero worries at all anymore. I am totally unafraid of sellers. I'm totally unafraid of any situations. I've been recently asked some questions that blew me away. I shared some of these with Tony earlier going, this is some pretty wild stuff. I even ran across my attorney and he didn't know what to do. He's like, man, if we do that, I think it's going to be a mess. So we need to set up some predefined terms, because I have this buyer was offering to keep making out extra payments just to pay it off sooner. I'm like, this is going to be a total pain in the ass to deal with. So, that's a great problem to have. He's talking about wanting to send me an extra $10,000 here, $15,000 there. But we're going to have to put that on the schedule to help alleviate any problems with our amortization on that. So, talking to a truly motivated person after all these other people, oh, my God, night and day. It's not even the same business talking to an unmotivated person versus a motivated seller. It's not even the same ballpark. Yeah. Not even close.
Absolutely. And you guys, I'm sure a lot of people listening to the call right now are familiar with the fact that, I love The Wolf of Wall Street, that movie. And Jordan Belfort is the guy who became it. And there's a story. I have his book. I highly recommend this if you get the chance to read it. Way of the Wolf, Straight Line Selling. It's a great book, even on Audible, if you like audible.com. So basically, there's a story in there that he talks, if you've seen the movie or not, there's a story that he talks about how he was trying to teach a new guy to sell stocks, and the guy was talking about how he gives all these presentations and he's so frustrated because he's talking to people who are not motivated or not ready, and he's trying to like beg them to do business. And he says he calls his junior partner into the office and he says, hey, Donnie, and he uses the famous line, this is where it came from, sell me this pen. If you've ever seen the movie, you know that scene. You have to remember that scene. Sell me this pen. And so he says, what? Seriously? He's like, yeah, sell me this pen in front of the junior guy. And he takes out this pen. He shows it to him, and he's like, he just instantly switches character. He says, okay, sure. So tell me, how long have you been interested in buying a pen? And Jordan says, I'm not. I hate your pens. I'm not interested. I'm not in the market to buy a pen. Not interested in that. So his junior associate throws the pen back in and says, take your frickin' pen. I'm out of here. He's like, what the hell was that? He's like, I don't sell people who are not qualified, people who are not interested. And therefore, the real lesson behind this is professionals qualify. Amateurs present. So when you're dealing with the right person on the phone, it's going to be a whole lot easier to qualify them instead of you qualifying yourself. And I can hear it in your voice, Damien, how you're talking and the confidence and swagger that you now have because you've been talking with the right people. So to everyone else who's listening here who hasn't talked to enough people yet to find those motivated sellers, is it worth it, Damien, to talk to a whole bunch of people qualifying and sifting and sorting until you find the right person? Is it worth it?
Oh, yeah. And once you talk to the first one, you know exactly what you're listening for.
Yeah.
Everything changes almost immediately. Yeah. It's almost overnight. It's just amazing.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. That was great stuff. I really appreciate you and Ed. You guys are just, thank you. It's just so nice to hear this. I wanted everyone to get some inspiration to see that this business does work. The people I've been working with in training, it actually does work, and you have the success to prove it. And great things are happening for you every single day. So did anything else that you want to say or a question you want to ask or anything else you want to share as we wrap this up and keep it moving?
Yeah, I'm going to plug your website there for a bit. That secret sauce page, if you have not read that little article.
Don't tell them about that. Don't tell them about that. Tell them what you're talking about. Go ahead.
The intro. I have all Ron scripts. I have the Wolf scripts. I have kind of Tony's guidance. And I can tell you, Tony's intro is the best of anyone I've ever heard anywhere ever. You know, and that basic intro is, hi, what's your name? Mine's this, and you get the answer, and you just stop and go. Gosh, it sure sounds like I'm catching the middle of something. Is now not a good time? Ask that question, they give you permission. You now have free reign to talk as long as you want. If somebody says, well, I've got a minute. Okay, I've got a minute. It's like, okay, you know what? Sounds like I should probably give you a call back later. I'm calling to talk about your house. I'm very interested in buying it, but let's schedule a time. So, because they are not going to be motivated at that time. But you can set that time with them, something like that, to follow up with them later. But that intro is – it does more to set a person's mind at ease than any other thing you can say.
Yeah.
At least so far as I've seen.
Absolutely. And you know why? It's because it puts you in a position where you don't sound like you're begging them. It says, I'm calling about this house. Hey, you know what? Sounds like it's not a good time. Meanwhile, they still have the house. It's still for sale. They're tired of dealing with tire kickers, a-hole real estate agents sucking up their time. That's why most of the questions you have, I'm sure, when you're talking to people, when you first call them, is, are you an agent? Are you a realtor? Are you a broker? Because they don't want to waste their time. So when you say, it sounds like it's caught you in the middle of something, it just takes everything and puts it on a whole new higher status, because it shows them that, hey, I don't need this crap. Maybe it's a good time, maybe it's not. And I'm glad to hear your feedback to say that it works. And I appreciate you talking about the special secret sauce that I have for the secret the expert. Actually, what I've done, for those of you who don't know, I have a product which is called the Fast Offer Generator. And I think that there's several people on here who have gotten that product. What it does is it allows you to create three customized, personalized offers in different packages in less than a minute. And you can get these offers out to sellers. And these are great to use if someone is a suspect or a project, if they're not quite ready. If they're a true prospect, don't use this. Get your butt out there and make an offer in person. Do it the right way. Qualify them over the phone. But if they're like, send me some information, I'll take a look, I'll think about it, this is a great thing to send out to them, and you've made offers. It keeps things moving, and then you set a time to follow up. So what I did was I added a bonus on there, which is called, the three-step, it's my super secret script is what I've created. It's really powerful. And those of you who have learned it and use it know what the hell I'm talking about, and Damien is definitely one of them. So this is powerful stuff. So if you go to the website, which I'm going to be talking about in a minute, I'm not trying to sell that tonight. I said I wasn't selling anything, but I am going to be talking about my website here in just one more second. So thank you again for that feedback, Damien, and congratulations on your success. We'll put the bell ringing here. I would take you off Q&A. to I'm sure everyone's going to be shouting and showing you some love, but if I do that, I'm going to be taking off these other people who are in the queue to raise their hand and have the next question coming up here. So we'll get to it in some other way. So thank you once again, Daniel. You're awesome, man. I love working with you, brother.
You hoorah. Thank
great.
You, brother.
Yeah, hoorah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'll be catching you soon, my friend. Thank you.
You betcha.
All right. Yes, sir. So we're going to move on, and Chrissia, you are next. All right.
Hey,
Chrissia, are you there? Hey, what's going on?
Yes, I'm here. Okay.
Georgia in the house. All right. What's up?
Yeah, Georgia. Just wanted to say that I will be utilizing your services in 2020. I just had to amass some finances first.
Okay.
To get back into some mentoring programs. But just to piggyback off of the last caller's comment about your
yes.
fast offer generator, it does, it's really helpful. It's
Thank you.
Really, really helpful.
Awesome.
So I may not have used it in the correct way just starting out, but I as you speak on it again, I see how to use it. And know better
right.
how to use it. But also, I wanted to add about the Airbnb from Eddie.
Yes.
Ron has a on his podcast, I think, he speaks with Airbnb. He does an Airbnb video.
Right.
He speaks with,
right.
who is the guy he spoke with?
Brian Page.
Brian Page. RonLegrand.com/BNB formula. And I plan to go in that direction as well.
Okay. Very good. Very
but
good.
That's all I wanted to add, that Ron has featured. Brian
yes.
Page on his
of course.
Site.
Absolutely. Absolutely, he has. Yes, indeed. So he's had Brian on there a couple times for some webinars. So
mm-hmm.
very good, very good. Anything else you wanted to share, or any questions that you wanted to ask for the benefit of everyone here?
Yes. I'm trying to build a team, and the acquisitionist sounds like a definite way to go.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So I will be trying to pursue someone as an acquisitionist.
Excellent. Let me speak on that, if I may, for your benefit and everyone else
mm-hmm.
here. Listen, guys, having an acquisitionist, like having a VA, whether they're local or virtual, if you have a PA, a personal assistant, or a virtual assistant, as you grow, these are going to become necessary components of your business. In the beginning, as you're just starting out, I'm a huge proponent of doing the stuff, learning, you know, shoving as much stuff down your own throat as you can, forcing yourself to get extremely uncomfortable so that you can later on become very comfortable. The more uncomfortable you're willing to be now, the more you're willing to fail forward fast, the more massive success you're going to have. The faster you do it, the more success you're going to have. Yes, you're going to screw up a lot. Yes, you're going to make mistakes. But guess what? Just like Master Yoda said, failure is our biggest and best teacher in life. So I'm going to suggest you consider learning as much of this as you can, doing as much of this as you can. Get yourself a deal or two, okay? Do some money. Do some deals. And from the money that you make from doing deals, use that to fund some marketing, some more marketing, okay? In the beginning, take calls yourself. Make calls yourself, okay? Find out everything that you need to do, because only then are you truly in a position to be able to really train other people, to let them know what you want, how you expect your business to be. You know, it's okay to start off as a chief cook, chef, and bottle washer and everything that you can. Maybe it's if you've had experience and success in this, or you are just having more money than experience and you just want to throw it out, and get stuff done and start buying a whole bunch of stuff, you know, that's one thing that you might be able to do. But I can tell you that you're going to have probably a lot of frustration until you learn how to do this business on your own. And then you slowly or quickly, as fast as you can, incorporate those other components. A personal assistant, a virtual assistant, and definitely an acquisitionist. And someone to sell your houses for you. Like, I'll tell you, see, I'll share this a secret with everyone here in case you didn't know. I hate selling real estate. I freaking hate it. I don't want to be the one who's going out there. Like, I don't want to be fixing up houses anymore. Been there, done that. You know, like I said, I used to have hair. I don't want to be the one who's staging a place and putting decorations up and planning color swatches and crap like that. I don't want to be that guy. I want to hire someone else to do that crap for me. I don't want to hold the open houses. I want to decide and delegate and disappear. The 3D method, okay, make decisions. And that's what you should be doing for your business. Think backwards, and we're going to be discussing this in just a few minutes from now. Think backwards. Think what you want your life to be like, what you want your business to be like, and work backwards from there. You know, you want to be, like Ron says, you want to be in a position where all you got to do is make decisions, okay? So getting an acquisition, this is going to be an important component along the way. And once you've had a little bit of success where you know what the hell you're doing and you've had the conversation with some motivated sellers and get things going, then you're going to want to get the right people in your business. Just like Ed said earlier on, find the right people with a great attitude, exceptional communication skills, and who are looking for a true opportunity, and you just happen to be able to provide it for them. Does that help you out and give you some perspective on things, Chris?
Yeah, it does.
Was it too much? Was it drinking from a fire hose, or was that just what you needed to hear right now?
that's what I needed to hear.
Awesome. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on the call tonight, and thank you for your question and your input, and it's great to hear from you. I look forward to working with you again, and that'll be fantastic. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to, keep it moving here. I think we need to do this button. Okay, we got a lot of people. Let me go back to this. If anyone else has a quick question that you would like to chime in with for everyone's benefit, just press *6 and you'll be placed in the queue. If anyone else has a question you would like to ask, now would be the time. Otherwise, I'm going to move on and make a couple quick other announcements and maybe do a little bit of light reading for you guys, if you wouldn't mind. So anybody have something that you would like to ask? Press *6. Going once, going twice. Oh, we got somebody. It just says wireless caller. Uh-oh. This could be dangerous. I don't know who this is, so hold on. Here we go. All right. Your number ends in 6532. Who might this be?
Tony, this is Randy. Hello. How are you?
Randy, you made it, man. Hey. Holy crap. What's up, brother? From Houston, Texas.
Yes, sir.
You are in Houston, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's up? Fantastic.
What the question is about. I had recently heard that Ron changed his position on lease options in Texas. Is that true? I heard that it was only not allowed if you did a sandwich deal.
Okay. I don't know what Ron's latest is. I don't follow him around to every event. I don't get, you know, he does change his mind, and we mentors don't always hear the latest and greatest. He does communicate some things with us, but not as often as I would like. So if you're in the great state of Texas, just for everyone's benefit, and we do have a few people from Texas on the phone tonight, and the basic idea, in case you haven't heard it, is that you cannot do sandwich lease options in Texas. You cannot control the property and then sublease it out to a tenant buyer and get a large chunk of money down. You can't do it. You can own a property, like if you were able to get it subject to owner financing, wrap around, agreement for deed, all that stuff. You can then lease option it out to someone if you own the property. And I think last I heard, Ron said he doesn't even like to do that now because some people had made a stink about that. So was that the point that you were bringing up there, that he changed position with that? Or?
Well, prior to that, the lease options, he presented them the way I understood it anyway. Maybe I misunderstood, but he was they're great everywhere except except in Texas because of the Frank Dodd's Act, right? Or Dodd-Frank.
Dodd-Frank, yeah.
And
It's not because of that. It's because of local legislation, some idiot politicians that created. Gee, that never happens. Don't get me started on stuff like that, man.
That makes sense. Okay. Well, whatever the reason, I thought it was not allowed in Texas, and I had heard he reversed that. So I'll follow up. By the way, it is kind of a local thing, specific just to the state. So
right,
we'll try to follow
up. It is okay. Now there is a guy down there. Email me. And I'll tell you about a local resource that I'm familiar with who has some further information for you in Texas. Okay?
Okay. Fantastic.
This will get you, point in the right direction. Thank you, sir. A pleasure that you. I'm glad you could make it on the call. By the way, this guy is a very successful investor. He's done a lot of deals. He primarily specializes in rehabs and wholesales, right?
Well, I'm unwinding from that. It's just too many headaches.
Yeah.
Ever since Harvey, the competition's got so great that even if you do happen to find, and they're like unicorns, if you happen to find a great general contractor that's, talented, ethical, loyal, efficient, everything, that reputation will get out. He will grow so fast, and instead of being the smart guy with the experience there, making sure it's done right, he's trying to manage five jobs from, with his phone in the car. And, he grows so fast that, now he's got five crews, so, he deserves that dually in the boat. So now he's got a big note.
And next thing you know, he starts smoking crack and blowing off the jobs. Don't ask me how I know this, please. Don't get me started on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So
why do you think I'm sticking with the pretty houses? But I hear what you're saying, man. I hear you.
That's what I'm unwinding all the rest of these and sticking with the pretty house. So thanks again for your help.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you again for calling in tonight, man. Good to hear your voice, buddy.
Excellent. We'll
hope to see
you
again at the summit. Thanks again for that hat you gave me. I love it. I love that hat.
I enjoy wearing mine, too.
My man.
Thanks.
All right, sir. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon. Thank
great.
You. Glad you're back. All right. Next up, we have Wynn Ridley from my own state here of Virginia. Wynn, you are coming up next. And
hey,
3, 2, 1. What's up? Hey, man.
How you doing? Good, good.
Fantastic.
I'm sitting here listening to everybody. Got a lot of good information. And
You
and I have been talking about this deal I'm working on with this now deceased owner whose daughter I'm working with. But I had a question about the lease I had them signed back in December. They were going through some things to get the heir's name on the lease. I'm wondering if I should revisit the lease and make some adjustments or have the couple sign a new lease on this deal. One, I don't want to give the heir an out, to sell to somebody else. That's why I haven't broached that subject yet. But when they're in, getting ready to go into January, and these lease payments were supposed to start in December, but they had not gotten paperwork straight on their end. So I'm wondering if I should revisit this lease situation.
Okay, now refresh my memory here. I'm dealing with so many deals.
This is a piece of property where the owner died. There's one heir, a daughter.
Excuse me.
And the daughter's name, there is no will. Daughter's name was not on any of the paperwork, not on the mortgage, not on the deed, not on anything. So they were having I did reach out to the mortgage company. They did not accept the authorization. They wanted to talk directly to the owners in a conference call with me. But I had them sign a lease. I do control the property with the lease option. Excuse me. And lease payments were to start in December. But with them not having their name on anything, obviously I was hesitant to make payments to them. And the owner is aware of that and communicated that to them clearly and what have you. They since have gone to had an appointment to get their name on the deed, daughter's name on the deed. That appointment fell through. The person was sick. So I still, at this moment, do not know if their name is on the deed, but the mortgage company still won't talk to me because we're not ready to have that conference call because they're requiring some
okay, so you've got a very complicated – Wynn here, by the way, everyone, Wynn has a very complicated deal. This is what is the – this is why we get paid in real estate because we solve problems. The bigger the problem, usually, usually, the bigger the paycheck, but not always. And it sounds to me like this is a big problem for a little paycheck potentially, but that's okay because I know you still want to be in the game and pursuing things. Yeah. So the situation is that he, the owner of the property passed away, and there are some people that he's doing business with who may hopefully be the ones who are the executor of the will, or the ones who are probate representatives who are able to be in control and
right,
in charge.
Right.
And so one of the things we always like to do whenever there's a mortgage involved in a property is we want to have a discussion with the bank to find out what the current status is and what the heck is going on. So in order to make that happen, I like to ask everybody, but what is the document that we always use that gives us the power to talk to the bank on the owner or seller's behalf? We all know it's the authorization to release information, which I have recently updated thanks to some a good suggestion. It's on the website, by the way, under the Tools menu, Contracts for Buying page. Tools menu, Contracts for Buying page. You find all the basic contracts you need. There's only three documents we need whenever we go out to a house 99% of the time. Purchase sales agreement, lease purchase agreement, and the authorization to release information. Okay, and that allows us, we have the seller fill that out and sign their name, put their information on there. That gives us the right to talk with the bank on their behalf about anything involving the existing financing, the mortgage or mortgages on the property. For every loan, we need one authorization. They have two loans. We need two of those filled out, one for each institution and each loan number. Okay, in this case, Wynn has had a challenge because who's the lender on it again?
This SunTrust, and they do not accept authorization to release information. They want a an affidavit, a real estate affidavit. I believe they want it notarized and a conference call with the now heir, who's now the current owner.
Now, this is a very unusual situation. I haven't heard that before.
The lease was signed.
Is it because the seller has passed away?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Seller has passed away. And that's where we are. And it potentially, because in the neighborhood, houses selling for $100,000, $110,000, $120,000, and the mortgage is $61,000. So
and the seller,
I'm thinking that
current people in control, hang on, current people in control are willing to walk away with what's owed on
about
the property.
Five. Yep.
Or about $5,000, right?
Yeah.
Have you done a title search on this property?
Not yet.
Okay. What is the first thing we always do when, after we get a contract signed from a seller?
Well, we want to get that title search done.
We check the title so we can find out who owns the property, how many liens and encumbrances there are. So if you haven't done it at this point, I'm reaching through the phone and smacking you. But I'm going to smack you on the butt to get you in motion and doing that tomorrow.
Okay.
Get that sent over to title company, your real estate attorney, and check the title.
Good.
You don't need a full abstract. You just need them to check the title. Okay?
Okay.
It should cost you maybe $7,500 tops.
Right.
And after you get a good relationship with the title company, real estate attorney, they won't charge you anything up front.
Yeah.
Include that
once
you have a good relationship.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
So that's
what
you need to do right there. Check that title.
Okay.
All right. And then you can be in control. Are the payments current on the property, or they're probably behind a bit, right?
Probably behind a bit, but nowhere near where the mortgage company is getting wired at.
Okay. One of the things you're going to need to do is get a hold of someone with intelligence and some responsibility and a title at that bank and say, listen, we're in control of this property now. We're going to do business here, or are you going to let this thing become a non-performing asset on your books? And you're not going to get anything for it. You're going to have to foreclose. This is a piece of crap property in a not-so-great section of town. I'm willing to work with you. We have all this crap in place here, but we need to know what the frickin' status is and what we need to do to move forward. We want to get you paid on this.
Okay.
What can we do?
Okay.
Because that's called playing the game at your level and still making them happy. Okay, so take control, take it to them, and start to dictate the terms. I can't tell you how many banks I've dealt with, how many idiots are working at these banks. They have no freaking idea what they're doing. They're just, oh, my God. And this is how we get better. So man up, stand up, give them a squeeze, and start to take control when you talk to these banks. If you have any questions, send me that email. Okay?
Okay.
Cool.
Thanks.
Thank you for your question, man. And, Okay. All right. Now we have one more. Anything else that you want to say? I'm sorry. Anything else that you want to say with?
Oh, no. Except, Tony, you've been great, offering the great advice, an attaboy when it's necessary, and like you say, a smack when necessary.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your kind words. I really do. Thank you so much. All right. I'll be looking forward to seeing you soon and talking to you soon. And Happy New Year to you.
Okay.
Brother.
All right. You too.
All right. Very good. Very good. All right. Next up, we have Matt and Tricia Pierce. Oh, some of my favorite people, y'all. Here we go. Matt, who's up there? Matt,
hey, Tony. It's me.
Hey.
How are you, Tony?
Cheers, mate. I'm great. I'm great. Good to hear your voice. What's up?
Oh, you too, sir. Thank you for all the kind words and the great advice, as always, that you're giving everybody here.
Thank you so much. Really kind of you to do this.
Yeah. Tony, you know, I had a question. When the lady mentioned the acquisitionist, which obviously sounds like a great idea when you're ready for it, if you're using an acquisitionist and you're paying them, you know, they don't have an equitable interest in the deal, are they effectively acting like an agent? You know, do you have a problem?
Ooh, that is a good question. If they are working for you, and I'm not going to be the one who's going to answer. This is a great question that you should have learned at business management when you recently attended. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So if I was you, good paperwork and a knowledge of what you're looking to do and represent will do miracles for you. First of all, we do not want to have employees if we can at all help it. Whole set of nightmares that can come in with having employees working for you.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of lines that could be crossed whether or not someone truly is an employee. Man,
right.
So what is best to have someone act as an independent contractor or consultant and get paid as a 1099. Although I've gone toe-to-toe with many attorneys, but I'm not an attorney, didn't go to law school. I'm not going to claim to say that this is what you can do from a legal standpoint. I'm going to say this is what has worked for, let's how we say, people I know. And you can get away with so much until you can't get away with so much. And that all it takes is one a-hole to screw things up for you and your life royally, which is why we don't want to own anything in our personal name. We want to control things in trust, because every time you own stuff in your own name, you are a potential target for a lawsuit. So I'm just going to say that you're offering opportunities to people. You're paying them out of the revenue that they create on commission. And at some point, you're going to grow to a point where you will have someone be an employee in that capacity, and at that point it will be fine. But let's get you making money and doing deals, and then you can really get that information that you need to in order to structure your business the right way. But in the meantime, just be smart, find the right people with a great attitude who are not going to challenge you in a court of law. If you can at all help it, do everything that you can to mitigate that potential risk and liability from happening. But it will behoove you to leverage yourself to find other people to help out with getting some tasks done and not ever call them an employee. I hope that helps and doesn't confuse. Does that help and not confuse? Or does that confuse you further?
No, that helps, Tony. That makes sense. You know, because I wasn't quite sure if this was just a non-question. As you say, they're involved in some way, and if but there is that always that question, right? Even for us sometimes, we can be challenged because we're
right.
Some people could say we're acting like an agent, and I've heard the lines equitable interest.
Right.
You know, you have to have that. Yeah.
So by the way, let me get back to your question of acting as an agent. Acting as an agent, as I understand it, is really generally regarded when someone is, when they have, if you're selling for commission, or if you have a property under contract and you're trying to sell the property. In some states, especially in the Midwest, Ohio, and they just passed a law in Illinois, which goes into effect in just a few days, as I understand. As I understand this ridiculous new law in Illinois makes it almost illegal to wholesale properties. I'm sure there's always loopholes, but it's an ugly law. And there's crap like this that's happening because basically the powers that be hate it when people like you and me make money. And they put more regulations and laws in place, and I'm not even going to say who's behind that crap or what. I'm not even going to go there. But anyways, so as long as you – basically the overall general rule is as long as you have control or ownership of a property, you know, you have an equitable interest in it. You can have people working with you to help you liquidate or sell or assist in the transaction of doing certain duties, staging a property, finding people who are interested in buying, or people working as an acquisitionist to help you acquire properties who are helping you out with things. Okay, so then you can control the property or own it. Okay?
Okay.
So.
Yeah, very good. That helps a lot. Thank you, Tony. Thank you.
My pleasure, sir. My pleasure. It was great seeing you the other day, man. Great seeing you.
Oh, likewise. Great to see your mom is wonderful, you know, and your son, your family in general. You're a great job, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you. You're too kind. I appreciate it. More than you know. All right.
Thank you, sir.
So it looks like we have one more person. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Matt. We have one more person in the queue at this time, and we're going to go back. Oh, man, this is a dangerous thing. I'm going to be quick on this guy. So I'm going to bring him back for some final words of Mr. Ed Middlebrooks. Here we go. Thank you, Matt. So, Ed, are you there once again?
I'm here once again. I had really just two things to share. One to the last guy about the acquisitionist, because it's a big point, and it got brought up with me from a real estate attorney.
Great. I'm glad you came back on to cover that. Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Here's how I cover that. I create a JV deal with my acquisitionist. He knows what the percentage he's getting. He has an equitable interest. We have a JV deal. When I get the down payment, I buy him out. That is, and it is exactly the verbiage that we use.
Oh, yeah.
We have a JV agreement together, joint venture.
Yeah.
When the down payment comes in, I buy him out. The buyout is his quote-unquote commission. We don't call it a commission. He's getting whatever percentage of the deal that we agreed upon, anywhere from 3 to 10%, really depending on how good he is and how often he's doing it, right? JV
Absolutely.
Deal. The other thing people mentioned on this call, and the other thing that people mentioned on this call was Airbnb, and I want to tell you really, really quick about something that's happening in Florida, and there's a point to this, and that is here we have a lot of homeowners associations. A lot of homeowners associations will not allow short-term Airbnbs, right? Well, Tallahassee, Florida, and I don't know if we have any other Floridians on the call, and if you are a Floridian, this definitely applies to you. A couple of years ago, it seems, we went diving through the laws recently. We found out a couple of years ago, the Tallahassee, the capital of Florida, put together some legislation that makes it illegal for local cities, towns, and homeowners associations to regulate Airbnbs. In other words, the state capitol wants us to be able to use Airbnbs, so they have stopped the cities and towns from creating legislation that prohibits
Airbnbs.
Make sure, because there's still hoes out here who are trying to enforce people to shut down their Airbnbs.
Yeah.
These people do it because they're scared that the hoes are going to sue them, but they really don't have a leg up.
Wait a minute. When you say hoes, let's be clear. When you say hoes, we're talking about homeowner associations. We don't want to have anybody misconstrue what you're trying to say there.
No. I said hoa, Tony. Hoa. Man, the
I heard ho. I heard ho. But, you know, it's been a long day. It's been a long day, bro.
Hoa. That's right.
Okay.
Don't forget the A. So the point is, the point to say all that is become an expert in your Airbnb legislation in your area. Do some research. Look up some laws before you agree to anything, before you agree to renting or anything. Become a local expert. And I'll tell you, it was really cool for me because when I was walking down the street on the street of my Airbnb in Lincoln, New Hampshire, I had a lady stop me and says, hey, you own that Airbnb right there, right? I said, yes. And it turns out she says, well, I'm on the selectman's board. She lives two houses down from my Airbnb. She is a legislator, a selectman in the state of New Hampshire. She might as well be a senator, right? She is local authority for the town. And she says, you're basically operating a business out of a residential. She says, however, I have an Airbnb here in town. Isn't it wonderful? Now, let me ask you a question. She says, how do you deal with all the riffraff? Because we have Airbnbs everywhere, and we're trying to create legislation for how do we deal with stuff. She goes, we noticed that you are one of the few Airbnbers who never has a problem. And so I can get into that if anybody wants to join the REE Masterminds group. I'm more than happy to speak to that and how we
you
mitigate
bastard.
It. But
you're going to leave a teaser out there like that? Okay.
Well,
I'll let that slide.
Yeah. I don't want to monopolize your call, but I want to say
it's all good.
Our methods. And I even got approached by a selectman to ask me, before we litigate on this, would you mind speaking to us to how you're doing it? Because we all have Airbnbs and we want to know your secret, which is awesome.
Awesome. So. Well, make sure that you get them to agree not to pass any further frickin' legislation. In exchange or something like that, something positive, but you get the idea. But that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And thank you for sharing those tidbits. That was really good.
You're welcome.
It was really good. So if you have an acquisitionist, yes, know your laws, know your local laws, what is good. There are resources out there that you can use to find out about the local legislation. It's very important to know this before you get into it and start obligating yourself to get into a lease. And all of a sudden, oh, we can't do that here. There's very, very, very few places in this country where Airbnb is illegal. And that is part of the resources that is provided in that one product. But it shouldn't be too hard to find that out. And believe it or not, like I think San Francisco, New York City, Las Vegas, and a couple spots like that. And Boston, yeah. What do they all have in common? I'm not going to say it. I'm going to stay out of politics. I'm going to stay out of it. I promised myself I wasn't going to say that stuff. But anyways, it's just something to take into consideration and keep in mind is what are the local laws and regulations and legislations. And, you know what we call those to get around stuff. What's that?
You know what we call those resources, Tony, who know that information?
What do we call them, Ed?
They're called lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
Ask your attorney.
That's right.
Go to your attorney.
You
want to get out of this business. You want to be in this business and not get deep into the weeds. Yes, I mean, become an expert. Moreover, make sure that you're using an attorney who is an expert. If you want to be an Airbnb, find yourself an Airbnb attorney who knows those laws inside and out. If you want to buy a pot farm, make sure you've got an attorney who understands the pot farm business inside and out. That's what you do. There are
pot farm
specialties. I wonder why I wish
we had the time. We don't have the time, but I would love to ask you about that pot. Ed, by the way, for everyone listening, we had some fun last year. Was it earlier this year at the summit? He had a pot farm, a marijuana farm in the state of, I think it was Maine, right? Under contract?
Maine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And
we did
you nicknamed it Green Mountain?
Thank God. Thank God we didn't.
What's that?
We did not.
Thank God
we ended up passing on that deal. And we passed on it for a number of reasons, and I'll tell you what, it was a blessing in disguise because we're about to go national here, it seems, with marijuana. Certainly, if not right now, it's going to happen very soon. The writing's on the wall, and when that happens, Maine is not where you want to have a pot farm, and they're going to be going out of business very quick because it's very expensive to have a marijuana farm there.
Yeah.
Arizona, however, if you're in Arizona,
climate.
That might be a place to look. Anyway, that's it. That's my two cents.
Well, thank you for your tidbits and sharing, Ed. And it was great being your mentor, and it was just awesome seeing how fast and how quickly you grew because you took the things that we discussed, you used them very quickly, and you just took massive action. I mean, you got a lot of mouths to feed, a beautiful family, so that helped provide the motivation. And look at you now. You're doing great things. You moved from a cold place to a warm place, and you're having some more success. And it's just an honor working with you and being your friend, of course. That's a beautiful thing. So thank you for your contribution tonight. Really appreciate it, brother. Really appreciate it.
And thank you for being in the group.
Bye. Yeah, man. My pleasure. I'll see if I can contribute some more on there. And I got to get my own Facebook group and invite your people and all that good stuff. I got a lot of things planned. So with that in mind, I'm going to transition to some things I want to cover here, and I'm going to kick you off the Q&A part. So let me press this button, and thank you again, Mr. Ed. Hold on. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're still on the call, and it looks like almost everyone that started is pretty much still here on the call. And so we've gone over the original allotted plan time, and it's so great to see everyone still sticking around. I truly appreciate that. So what I'd like to do now is just cover a few housekeeping things. And first thing I want to say is for those of you who are still members of the YourRealEstateCourse.com website, I appreciate you for sticking around. I really hope that you are logging in with regular frequency and taking advantage of all the great stuff that I put on there, the articles, the videos, the tools, holy crap, all the good stuff that's on there. And for those of you who don't know, there is a powerful tool that I've recently added, okay, that I'm going to tell you about in a second here. But first, I want to mention the fast offer generator. Again, if you want more, I'm not selling it here, but if you want more information about it, you can just go to yourrealestatecourse.com/generator and check it out. There's a fancy video I put on there. I hope you enjoy it. And if you're interested in that, it'll make sense. If you have any questions, you know what to do. Send me an email. But I include a very powerful bonus, which you heard my man Damien allude to earlier on, which is the secret sauce, the three-step script, if you will, which is not a script. It's so powerful. And this works like a frickin' magic bullet. in just about every situation, when you're talking to sellers, when you're talking to buyers, when you're talking to private lenders, when you're talking to people in general in any situation. I give some great training on there. There's like 4 audios that really help to clarify a lot of things and give you some great food for thought. And I'm telling you, this shit just freaking works. So that is a bonus I give away for anyone who gets in on the Fast Offer Generator. It's a one-time investment, only $47. What's not to like? It's a beautiful thing. Now, the next thing is, if you have let your membership on the site slip, shame on you. Shame on you. You should be a member of the site. It's only, these days, it's only $27 a month. You can quit any time, but it is a tremendous value. There's so much great information on there. I provide articles and tools and training and videos. If you want a good real estate attorney, how to find and hire the best creative real estate attorney on your site. All you do is log into the site and search for real estate attorney, and you get a plethora of information. And the one article that I, it's not an article, it's more like training. There's a mind map. There's a training video. What questions to ask? How to find, where to find these people? What to say to them? How to talk to them? How do you know you have the right one or the wrong one? All kinds of great stuff in there. There's also, oh man, let me tell you about the latest tool I've created on the website, if you don't know. This is what I've recently called, I've come up with a better name. It's called the Bottom Line Script. Let me ask you something. Have you ever talked to a seller and they say that, I might just list the property? Or they give you any inkling whatsoever that they're thinking about just listing the property with a stinking real estate agent, like 90%+ of FSBO sellers usually wind up doing. They list the property with an agent. And there goes, you know, there goes our deal. Well, before they do that, what if there was a way that you could show them, illuminate and elucidate the fact that they're going to have to pay a crap load of money when they list that property? Did you guys know that it costs anywhere, usually on average, about 10 to 15% of what the sales price of the property is for them to sell their house? My friends, that means if they sell their house, it's $300,000. That's $30,000. Flush out the toilet, down the toilet. Think about this, 6% real estate agent commission typically, up to 3% closing costs, 1 to 3% seller's concession where they have to help out with closing costs, do some repairs on the property, you know, do some things like that, maybe have a discount on the property. And also another thing is holding costs, okay? Costs money to hold a property. There's monthly mortgage payments. There's property taxes. There's utilities. There's landscaping, snow removal, all that crap. It adds up. So what if there was a way that you could help a seller quickly understand the cost to sell on a property, something they never really considered? Well, I've created that tool for you. And it works very simply. This is so freaking powerful. I'm so proud of myself for making this. It's something I wanted to do for a while, and I finally put it together for you. And all you do is go on there, and you follow the script. You follow the simple script in the form that I provided for you. It's so easy. It's much like the lead PI sheet that I've converted from Ron's blank lines on a page into a script where you can ask questions and get interactive responses. It's much like that. You know, it's really cool. So you ask a seller, the magic opening question is, hey, Mr. Seller, before you list that property, maybe you should do that, but before you do, let me ask you something. Has anyone ever taken the time to show you what you could, you know, reasonably expect to walk away with from the sale of your property if you were to sell the traditional way with a real estate agent? Has anyone ever taken the time to show you how much you're going to put in your pocket? No? Okay, great. This is all in the script, by the way. So let me show you this. How about we take just a quick minute and work through the numbers so you can understand how much money you're going to make from the sale of your property. No harm, no foul, no obligation. Just take a quick minute, and it'll teach you some good stuff here, show you some good stuff. This is all in the script here, guys. So they say yes, and you simply follow everything. I've laid it out perfectly so that you're asking the questions. You click the next section. A few more things. I'm going to send it out to you right away. I'm going to send it out by email, okay? What's the best email address? Okay, boom, boom, boom. And then, okay, I'll send it out to you right away. Before we get off the phone, when would be a good time to follow up with you about this information I'm about to send you? Today is Monday. Would you prefer I call you back on, should we talk on Wednesday, or would, you know, Friday be better for you? The choice of two clothes, which is another article I provided for you on the site. And don't hang up yet, guys. We're almost done here. So the next thing is that you go through this whole thing and you click a few buttons and it spits out a one-page professionally written letter which breaks down the cost to sell, all the numbers, all the math. It puts their information, your information, with a call to action at the bottom of the page with your phone number in case they have any questions. And it has, it deducts their mortgage balance. It deducts the holding costs. It automatically calculates all that stuff for you. And it lets them know how much they're going to walk away from the sale of their property. And guess what? It is a jaw-dropping revelation for everyone who sees this. Okay? So when they think that they owe $200,000, for example, if they think that if they have a property worth $300,000 and they owe $250,000, and for those people who think that they're going to walk away with the sale from the sale of that property with a $50,000 check in their hand, anybody who's been doing this a business a while, any real estate agent knows that ain't happening, Charlie. It ain't happening. They'll be lucky to walk away with $10,000-$20,000, if that. Okay? If that. And this will show them everything that they need to see. And then you come in there and say, hey, what if there was a way that you could get it faster, easier, maybe make some more money with this, if we can do business? That's not something you'd be interested in learning how to do it if you're trying to get the most out of this property, is it? I'm sure you can see the power out of that, right? So guess what, guys? I have that tool for you. And then guess what? I'm not charging a thing for it. It's all available for you free if you're a member on the site. So all these things and more. I just want to make sure that you know the value of the site, okay? And, you know, if you're a continued member on there. So if you're not a member and you want to get back on, no problem. Just go to, you may want to write this down, just go to yourrealestatecourse.com/welcome-back. Welcome back, with a dash between the words welcome and back. yourrealestatecourse.com/welcome-back. I think if you put a space between those words, it might still work for you, okay? So if you want to come on back, that's what you got to do. And if you have any challenges or any questions, you know what to do as always. Email me at tonymentorsme@gmail.com. Tony, that's T-O-N-Y, mentors, with an S at the end, me@gmail.com. So Tony with a Y, T-O-N-Y. tonymentorsme@gmail.com. If you have any questions about that whatsoever, I'll be happy to step in and help out. Okay? So if you want to come back to the site, I'll welcome you with open arms. It's a beautiful thing. You want to be a member. All right, the next thing you already know is the fast offer generator, yourrealestatecourse.com/generator. If you want more information about that, yourrealestatecourse.com/generator. Last but not least, I want to mention the summit is coming up. Oh, my goodness, the summit. Yes, indeed. And I still think that the price is still reasonable this time. I think it's going to be going up soon. But please make sure you come out to the summit. I will be there. I will be working. It's going to be in Vegas. Yes, we are going back to Las Vegas. I'll be chained to a desk pretty much the whole time working in the deal room. You know, they literally take a chain and put it around our ankle and chain us to a desk. So I'll be working in that deal room, but I love it. It's a beautiful thing. So make sure if you do go to the summit, you come on out and see me, shake my hand, maybe we can grab a bud lunch or something. I don't know. But if you want to register for the summit, you can simply get more information about that by going to yourrealestatecourse.com/summit2020. I will repeat that. yourrealestatecourse.com/summit2020. Once again, that website address is yourrealestatecourse.com/summit2020. Okay? Now, I have one more thing I want to share with you, and this is just in time for New Year's. For those of you who are still on the phone, I appreciate you sticking around. I appreciate you sticking around. I'll take a little sip here. Now, tomorrow night is New Year's Eve, right? I hope that everyone has great plans. I hope that everyone stays safe, doesn't drink too much, whatever you got going on. Keep safe on those roads. We're having the party come to us, as we always do. We're going to have a house full of people, a lot of food, a lot of craziness going on, some salsa dancing in la casa, and it's all good. So since it is New Year's Eve tomorrow, and one thing that is a tradition in our country, many parts of the world, is people like to set their New Year's resolutions, like to set their goals, okay? Now, a lot of times, I know that's a scary thing, but I'm here for you. I am here for you, yes. And what I'm about to do is I'm going to, if you, with your kind permission, I'd like to read an article I wrote maybe 15 years or so ago, and it is on the website, and I'd like to read this to you real quick. Hopefully no one falls asleep. And what the title of this article is, it's about that time again, the lazy man's way to write your goals. I should amend that. It's going into 2020, the lazy person's way to write your goal. Lazy man or woman or the lazy person. the lady, non-cisgender, I'm just playing. Don't get me started, please. Anyways, to writing your goals, okay? So, hope you enjoy this. I'm going to read this to you real quick, and hope you enjoy it. Are you ready? Here we go. Wow, can you believe that we're at the beginning of yet another year already? So have you done it yet? Have you written out your New Year's resolutions? And why does it always seem like we need to resist writing them down when we know it's something we really should do? And why do we think we should only do them around New Year's? And why am I asking so many questions? But seriously, this article is about a few things that I thought would be pertinent to your success this year, so listen up. Because if you take my advice, it could mean the difference between a mediocre year and one that exceeds all your current expectations. First, a little bit about writing out your goals. I don't know about you, but it used to be that whenever I thought about writing goals, my gag reflex would get a workout. I hated it. Can you relate? But then I found something out quite by accident, something that not only changed how I felt about this essential task, but more importantly, massively changed the result of it. Would you like me to share that with you? Good, I thought so. Now, as you listen to this article, you'll begin to notice a few things, hopefully. You'll first notice that nice, warm, tingly feeling that you get as you realize that you're about to learn something that could radically affect you in a positive way. Yes, that feeling is called excitement. In fact, let's begin with that, excitement, shall we? So here's what I want you to do. Go and grab a sheet of paper and a pen. You know, nothing fancy. Now, you don't have to do this right now, but maybe it would, if you can, it would be great. Just at least get started with this. Now, sit down at your favorite comfy place where you can write and keep this article handy, and I'll be sending this to you. So just do it. So the next thing I'd like you to do is just put a smile on your face and just close your eyes for a moment and imagine, picture, feel what your life would be like if there was absolutely nothing to stop you. Whatever you wish to create or imagine here is totally peachy and is open game. Now, if all you can do is imagine what can go wrong or you just keep seeing the obstacles in your path, that's an indication of something, and we'll probably get back to that later. But for now, if an obstacle or something comes to mind, just look at it and simply let it slide away. Just let it go. Bye-bye. Peace out. And again, just focus on what you wish to create. Where would you live? Where would you travel? What would you be doing? What brings you the greatest amount of joy in your life? And again, nothing is wrong here. Just let it flow. And when those negative thoughts come by, and they will, just let them pass by, like a leaf being carried downstream on a fast-moving creek. Who would you be friends with? How would you live? How would you dress? What would you eat? How much would you laugh? What kind of shape would you be in? And there's no limits here. And I encourage you to do this little exercise, get yourself, you know, in that good state of mind for as long as it takes, whether that's 5 minutes or 5 hours. Hopefully not that long, but you get the idea. And as you do this, you should really start to feel happy. Your body should be buzzing with all the positive vibration of possibility. And I can see you smiling already. Got it? Good. Now, once you're in that mode and you're in that mood and you're feeling that good, positive energy, start writing. Write it all down. Write what you feel. Write what you see. And there's a reason we're doing it this way. Stick with me. You should have at least one or two pages of some good stuff here if you're doing it right. And if you're not doing it right, just keep writing. Just get it all out. Don't edit yourself. Keep it going. And you're supposed to be enjoying it. Once you've done that, and it could take half an hour, it could take 50 minutes, challenge yourself, push yourself. And once you're all done with that, what you want to do next is look at your list. And there's probably a couple things on there that make you feel better than anything else you've written. You know what I'm talking about. Let's call this your higher purpose in life. Whether this is in line with your business or not, it's okay. And then what you want to start to do is work backwards. Begin with the end in mind. What you want your life to be like, work backwards. Okay? If this is eventually where you would like to be, what you'd like to do or have, ask yourself this question. Here's the magic question. What can I do, starting right now, today, to bring me closer to this goal? What can I do right now, starting today, to bring me closer to this goal? And write that down, too. And just let your mind and your pen flow. Okay? And after you're done with the flow, you'll need to start to put some structure to your ideas. So let your logical side take over. So you first simply identify the steps you'll need to follow when you get to get you there. Put them in order. Add some dates to when you'd like to accomplish them, and bam, instant goals written down. You're done. You didn't think it could be that easy, did you? Well, why not? Who says it has to be hard? Hopefully, I think you get the idea. And you can work this way anytime you want to, or anytime you may feel stuck in life. And there's a reason that we're doing it in this order. You see, as humans, we're emotional creatures first. Some of us just try harder to shut that part of ourselves off at times, but it's still there. By relaxing and tapping into that happy emotion first, then putting logical order to it second, okay, emotion first, happy emotion first, and then logical order to it second, okay, I'm especially speaking to you accountants and logical left brain people, but when you do it that way, you're working with the flow, not against it. And that's a discovery that made all the difference for me. And whenever I share this magic technique with anyone, their reaction, the process, and the results speak for themselves. I really encourage you to try it out for yourself if you don't believe me. And, yeah, you can thank me later. So here's a few more things to please keep in mind when you're doing this fun goal-writing exercise. First, remove all your limiting beliefs. The only limits in life are the ones that we put on ourselves. I'd like you to relax and just enjoy this process. It really is for your benefit. Recognize and realize that you deserve all these things, and you've got to believe that. No one has to give you permission for this stuff. Believe it. You deserve it. Good stuff. Begin this exercise as soon as you can. I always like to ask the question, when would now be a good time to start? This is your life that you are creating here. Don't compare yourself to anyone. This is your life. You are the captain of your own ship. And do this as if you could not fail. Imagine that you can only succeed. And can you see how this will work for you? Now, if you don't mind, let me share this how it's worked for me. Believe it or not, it wasn't too long ago that I just couldn't get it done. No matter how hard I tried to make my business and my life flow, it seemed like there was always something that came up. The kids got sick. The contractor disappeared again. The title company didn't understand what was going on. The attorney had some stupid questions. The lender would try to pull a fast one at the last minute. The car would break down. Something. Always freaking something. I was up against the wall and didn't know why. What the hell was I doing wrong? Why was all this crap happening to me? Recognizing that what I was doing mentally was not getting me anywhere I wanted to go, I decided to try something new. Out of necessity, you could say I discovered this magic technique that I'm describing to you right now. So I sat down in my comfy chair. I had some nice jazz playing in the background. I think it was some Latin jazz. And I simply just let it go. I let all those limiting beliefs just slide by. I just stopped listening to that negative voice in my head for a little while. I visualized how I'd like things to be, what I wanted the outcome to be. I imagined a great big easy button in front of me and just pushed it. Remember that old commercial? So I felt great. And when I opened my eyes, I knew what I had to do. For the next hour, I was frantically writing whatever came to mind. And I wrote with both hands until they were both tired. Yes, I'm ambidextrous. I can write with both hands. I'm silly like that. And then I took a break to refill my coffee cup and stretch a bit. And when I returned later, I began to put things in order. I asked myself that great question, what can I do right now to start this? And I did it. And I'm not going to tell you what I did because I don't want it to influence your list. And the writer, teacher, and consultant Peter Drucker said, the best way to predict the future is to create it. So what has been the result of this exercise for me? I mean, how can I describe it? Let's just say that my life now is radically different than it used to be. Before I discovered this magic, I would have doubts in the back of my mind that the money would, I'd have doubts that the money would come or that I could accomplish these things. I would have only seen what could go wrong and why. I envisioned people saying no and all the rejection that would come there. And maybe in the back of my mind, I may have even doubted if I even deserved it. Can you believe that crap? You know what happened because of my negative thoughts? I got what I thought about. Yep, a lot of times I actually brought about the negative result because of the bad seeds I mentally sowed. Can you relate? But all that has changed now, now that I've discovered The Secret. You may want to see that movie if you haven't already, The Secret. Not only do I now feel more empowered to do whatever I choose, but I'm actually doing it. Removing those limiting beliefs you see will make a huge difference to you, just as it has done for me. For example, I made more last month than I used to make in a whole year, and there's always a lot more on the way. I couldn't stop the magic flow from coming if I wanted to, and I'm crossing a lot of things off my list. Yeah, of course I could go on and on here, but I don't want to brag. But I'm just saying, if you simply follow what I've suggested here, I predict a massive, successful year for you as we head into 2020. Can you believe that? I hope so. The next question I have for you is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Because only things happen when you take action. So guys, I want you to get busy on your goals. The next time we see each other, please pull me aside and let me know how things have worked out for you because of this magic technique. So I want to wish you all a great success and have a fantastic, awesome kick-ass in 2020. I'm going to take you off Q&A mode and let everyone speak up here in just a second. And before I do that, I'm going to put this article out for your benefits. Hell, I'll open this up for everybody, okay, since you were kind enough to show up to this call. Usually it's just for members of the website, but I'll open it up to everybody. And we still have a lot of people on the call. Oh, my God. So I'm going to open up the call here. And 3, 2.
Thank you, Daddy.
How'd you like tonight's call, everybody?
You're the best, Tony.
Hey, well done,
great, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you,
Tony.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year,
everybody.
Thank you.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody. God bless you. Love you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Good luck in 2020.
Happy
2020.
And to you.
All right. May all the good things happen for you and your family.
Happy 2020.
Happy 2020. All right. Take care, guys. Talking to you next year. All right. Take care.
Thank you, Tony.
Happy New Year.